Hi there, thanks for joining us. Today I'm speaking with Gaurav Sodhi, who is the Deputy Head of Research at the Intelligent Investor. Gaurav, it's great to talk to you. Previously, we have spoken about lithium and about coal, but one thing that we haven't talked about is iron ore, and that was really a flashpoint for the reopening story as far as China is concerned. What's interesting is that prices initially ran quite hard. Now we're at this point where it's a big question whether or not activity is going to make a dent on the existing stockpiles that we've got at Chinese ports. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the behavior of iron ore has been extraordinary. I mean, if you go back to the early 2000s, between 1960 and say 2003, the iron ore price averaged about $20 a ton. And we're now sitting here in 2023, 20 years later, and the iron ore price is really averaging about $120 a ton. It's been a complete transformation. A lot of that has been driven by, of course, the industrialization of China, but there are supply side. As always, Tom, there are supply side issues that explain what the iron ore price is doing. And the first thing to note is that iron ore, everyone thinks iron ore is a mining business. Iron ore is actually a logistics business. The cost and the risk and the expertise in the iron ore segment is actually moving very low value dirt around and doing it economically.
You've simplified that beautifully, but you could really extend that analogy to mining in general.
I think it works particularly well for iron ore because iron ore is the largest volume mining industry in the world. You have to move so much material in orders of magnitude different to any other resource in the world. Maybe coal comes close. And also the value of that material is so low. You know, we're talking historically, so $20-$30 a ton to move huge volumes of earth. You just have to be very, very efficient.
It costs you more to buy briquettes at Bunnings.
Well, that's right. Yeah, there's great stories like that. That's right. So what you found is that expansions of iron ore have come from existing complexes where you have those integrated supply chains. Yeah. So there's two large areas of the globe where you get expansions, where those supply chains have been built. One is the Carajás in Brazil, where you have Vale operating and they extract really efficiently, super high quality ore at very low cost. And Australia, of course, we have the Pilbara, where you've had a magnificent integrated a logistics chain built by Rio and BHP, and really high quality ore at really low cost. Despite the really high prices, it's been extremely difficult to incentivize new supply because the marginal price of iron ore is not just the cost of digging it up, it's the tens of billions of dollars it takes to actually build your integrated logistics chains.
And $1 billion today is not what it was when BHP and Rio started building this infrastructure.
Indeed, indeed. And there's very little willingness to actually do that anymore. So it's the nature of iron ore that it kind of explains the price of iron ore. And the only way we're going to see that change is by having new volume introduced. And as it happens, Tom, there is a wall of supply coming because we've now had a 10-year period where iron ore has traded above $100 a ton. It's given miners the incentive and the confidence to now build out those supply chains. So you're seeing from in Brazil, you're probably going to see 100 million tons coming out of Brazil. You're probably going to see another 100 million additional tons coming out of the Pilbara. And over in Africa, you've got maybe 200 million tons being built by the Chinese in Guinea, which is one of the most long anticipated iron ore basins in the world. Very rich, as you say.
Yeah.
I think we ought to be, now is a time to start being cautious on iron ore because we have not seen this kind of supply coming for decades. And I don't think the market is anticipating it hitting the shore, hitting the market.
The African question is fascinating, but not only in relation to iron ore, in relation to a variety of commodities, but it's been a long time coming. And how successful do you think it will be in Africa compared to what we have seen in those other important regions where it has been a feat of engineering to be able to get those things up? Will that be replicated in Africa in the near term?
If it was only on a commercial basis, I'd say absolutely not, no way. But what we're seeing is that the Chinese government is actually funding the construction of the infrastructure needed to get that operation underway. And they're not interested in making a profit on the iron ore itself. They're interested in lowering the cost the unit cost of steel. You know, China is the world's largest steel maker by a mile, probably makes half the world's steel production. So lowering the price of iron ore is a key consideration for them, and it saves them money to get the African operations up. It's been about 10, 15 years in the making, but it looks like they're going to get first production in a couple of years. And we're looking at a whole new basin with brand new logistics and ore as good as what you get in the Pilbara. And I think you're going to see about 200 million tons move annually in the first instance, and maybe double that down the line. So I think that the days of sort of 150 iron ore will be over, and it'll be hard to maintain iron ore in the triple figures if we're looking 10 years from now.
So how does that influence your decision today in relation to, you know, organizations, you know, BHP, Fortescue, Rio, who can extract these ores out of the ground at such an incredibly low cost? They're doing an incredible job, really.
Oh,
even when you're dealing with cost inflation to the extent that we have at the moment.
Yeah, Tom, absolutely. There is no question. I would say BHP and Rio, their iron ore operations are in the top 10 businesses in the world, up there with Microsoft, Google. You look at the returns on capital. BHP makes 100% return on assets on a typical basis, and ditto for Rio Tinto. These are outstanding businesses, not just mining businesses. So I'm not really concerned about them. I think they are going to continue to mint money, and whether you're making 100% ROA or 70% ROA, I don't think shareholders will mind too much. I think Fortescue has an issue. Fortescue has low cost of excavating ore, but actually they attract discounts because of the quality. And once you add in shipping charges and everything, they're actually still a higher cost producer than the others. And I think they will face a more difficult future. Not that they're in trouble, but I just think these double digit yields aren't going to exist the way they do today. And be very cautious of iron ore juniors. I think once you get these large basins established, there's not much room for small trucking operations. And in the last iron ore boom, that was followed by a funeral march of small iron ore miners. Yep. And I think something similar risks happening again. So be cautious of small iron ore miners that don't own their logistics chains.
So that's very big picture stuff.
Yes.
Now, closer to home, you know, the reopening trade in relation to China has been a tide that has lifted a lot of boats where sentiment was concerned in the markets at the beginning of the year. How do you square that in the near term?
I think that's largely played out, actually, Tom. I these short-term drivers, the miners are very good at responding to these. The major miners have already lifted their exports, and I think China has absorbed them. You may have slightly higher inventory levels, and so that's probably helped boost the price of iron ore in the very short term, but that won't last long. And these sort of events are really quickly digested and anticipated by a market as large and as sophisticated as iron ore. So I don't think that's a huge deal in iron ore markets. And for me, it's that longer term picture is probably the thing to focus on.
Gaurav, as always, it's a pleasure to be able to discuss these developments in the commodity markets with you. Thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
And thanks very much for joining us for the Executive Series.